Well, good morning, everybody. What'd you think of my singing? Wasn't that great? Oh, my gosh. That was a long one. My gosh. Oh, no. No, I was not fishing for applause. But anyways, you can compliment me later. This is Corpus Christi Day. It's a joy. I was ordained on Corpus Christi weekend, and we had our ordinations yesterday. You all remember Deacon Bobby, now Father Bobby, went to his first Mass last night, and then this afternoon is Father Sam Roscoe's first Mass, and then also Father Anthony Armbruster. So praise the Lord for three good holy priests. And guess what? Speaking of three priests, you got three today, which is really exciting. We have Father Paul, of course, and then Father John Hollowell, good friend in Dearborn County. And we're blessed to have the three of us at this beautiful Mass of Corpus Christi. Corpus Christi, of course, is Latin for the body of Christ. And the gospel today, Jesus gives some instructions on preparations to be made before the participation in the Passover, in which he instituted the Most Holy Eucharist. Our first reading, did you catch that? This was Moses talking to the people. Remember, in the first five books of the Bible, there are 613 rules. Most of them are about divine worship, preparing for it, doing it well. And once Moses shares all of the 613 rules, with one voice, the people said, "We will do everything that the Lord has told us." And what a beautiful posture of humility and a posture of faith and a posture of love and obedience to be like, wow, like, Lord, whatever you say, I will conform my life that way, especially when it comes to divine worship. And that's what I really wanted. The Holy Spirit convicted me to preach this weekend about some housekeeping issues, about preparations for the Most Holy Eucharist. The Eucharist is the most important thing in my life. And of course, the Eucharist is not a thing at all. It is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. And yesterday at the first Mass of Father Bobby Vogel, the priest who preached gave a beautiful homily. And he said, remember that a priest, more than anything, is a friend of Jesus. And so I want to talk to you about my friend. I want to talk to you about my best friend, which is Jesus. And I want to talk about preparing for a Holy Eucharist and participation in the Holy Eucharist. The priest also said last night, he said, the priest exists for the Eucharist. That's why Jesus gave the Eucharist and the priesthood at the same time. Those two sacraments came together in a package deal. And so I want to talk about this because this is the most important reality in my life. It's why I lay down on the floor 9 years ago and became a priest, the Holy Eucharist. How and when we receive the Eucharist is a really, really big deal. And in the pews, I put a little handout. I'd like to go through it. And let's start with the internal dispositions. This would be interior preparations. How to prepare the soul to receive Jesus at Holy Mass. Pass them down if you find them. Now, the 5 o'clock crowd liked them so much, some of them took two or three home. And but there should be enough around. Internal preparations for Holy Eucharist, what are they? The first one is to have a right intention. Now, you notice that I put a catechism reference or a canon law reference or Redemptionis Sacramentum or Sacramentum Concilium or GERM, which stands for the General Instruction of the Roman. So I'm not making any of this up. Okay, this is what the church asks of us, and we're supposed to be like Moses. Moses is people who said, we will do everything that the Lord asks of us. And so to have a right intention, which means that when we come to Holy Eucharist, we should want nothing more than to be, when we're walking down the aisle in procession, we should be thinking, I get Jesus. I want to be one with him. I want to be one with him now so that eternally I can be one with him forever in heaven. That I can't wait. I'm not thinking about the donuts after. I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do this afternoon or how that game really didn't go so good. Or I'm not thinking about what that person is wearing or that my friend is. No, I'm thinking about Jesus. I'm preparing my hunger, a hunger for Jesus. You can't live without satisfying your hunger. And so to have this desire to be one with the Lord, that's the right intention. What is the wrong intention? I'm going to go to communion because everybody else goes. Or because people might ask me why I'm not going. Or they might ask me why I'm getting a blessing instead of receiving Jesus. Those are wrong intentions to receive Jesus. We receive Jesus for the right intention of wanting to be one with Him, being consumed by Him and Him consuming us. Number two, we observe the bare minimum fasting requirement. That is the easiest thing on the planet now. You know, it used to mean something because you used to not be able to eat anything until you come to Mass. And Jesus would be the first thing you would have all day. I still like to live that way. And it's a good thing to do to make, because why? We're making space for Jesus. We're sharpening our hunger so that we are training ourselves, our souls, to really hunger for one thing more than everything, and that's the Eucharist, which is Jesus. Okay, and so to obey the bare minimum fasting requirement, we'll get to this in a second, but one reason that gum is never appropriate in church is because it breaks the fast. But it also, and coffee counts too, everybody. I know, I'm a coffee lover. That one stings. But we are to obey the bare minimum fasting requirement, which is 1 hour before you receive Holy Communion. Okay, then we must be in a state of grace. What does that mean? It means that we have no mortal sins on our souls that are unreconciled in confession. Missing Mass on a Sunday would be an example of a mortal sin. Why? Because we say, the Lord here gives us heaven on earth, but I have something better to do than to go to Holy Mass. You could see how that would be a mortal sin. A mortal sin is not God punishing us and saying, you can't eat me because you were bad. No, it's the fact that we have broken our communion with God. We have chosen our will over His will. We have chosen our way more than His way. We did it. We broke the communion. To restore the communion, thank you, Jesus, for confession. I go every week. I go every week. We should all love confession, a mercy chamber where we are restored in our communion with Jesus, the Trinity, the communion of saints, and our brothers and sisters in the church everywhere. It is the heavenly thing, confession. And so if you have a mortal sin on your soul, getting drunk would be another mortal sin. Eating to excess, gluttony, any offenses against lust would be considered mortal sins. The seven deadlies, sloth, lust, anger, pride, envy, gluttony, greed, offenses against these, the Ten Commandments. When we willfully choose them, we say, I want my thing more than communion with you, God. And so we are ineligible for communion. It's not God punishing us. It's we ourselves punishing us. You see? And here in 1 Corinthians, lest you think that I make this up, this comes from the Bible. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily profanes the body of blood. Why? Because we're bringing our sins into the body of Jesus. A person should examine himself and only then eat the bread, drink the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks condemnation on himself. So if you're not in a state of grace, we get in a state of grace by very easy going to confession. Pope Francis talks about confession all the time. Pope Benedict XVI, he always said the confession line should be as long as the communion line. Confession is lovely. Okay, a couple that is living as a married couple but without the sacrament of matrimony are not able to receive any sacraments unless they live chastely as brother and sister. Because otherwise they're living in a thing that is not good, not of God. They chose it. And to get out of it, we must simply conform our lives to the Lord. Act of gratitude after reception of Holy Communion. We should be so grateful. Just grateful. Oh my gosh. Grateful. That the God of the heaven would come here. And nothing else is more important than that. And only when we go to heaven that is here can we go to heaven that is there one day. Those are internal preparations. Turn the page. External preparations. How do we prepare ourselves? What do we do? We come to Mass early. We don't come in 5 minutes late or with 1 minute to spare. We come in early to prepare ourselves, to kneel down quietly, preparing our souls. We would never go to a meeting with our boss 5 minutes late. The Lord is the big boss. We come early, well-rested. Good preparation for Mass begins the night before, where we are well-rested so that we can come here alert, ready to well-prepared. We are well-dressed. Modesty is important, especially in the house of God. The Catechism even says we must be joyful. How could we not be joyful when we are coming to the house of God? When we are coming to the place to receive the most important reality ever, we have come to receive the treasures of heaven here. We should have a smile on our face, no gum in the mouth, no baseball cap on top. We are ready to participate fully, actively, and consciously. Now, in the gospel today, they were singing a song. They were so happy. And some people say, I'm German, I don't sing. Well, you better learn how, because if you want to sing eternally in heaven, we got to start singing here. And I don't care if you can't sing, listen to me. You know, but like, we're loud and proud for the Lord, because we are consciously, actively participating in the Holy Mass. Okay, then it comes time for the communion rites. We bow before we receive Jesus. That is the universal sign of reverence in the United States of America. Germ 160. Whether you receive on the tongue, or kneeling, or hand, or whatever, we bow first. We receive either standing or kneeling. Today, standing is the normative posture in the United States of America. That's in the germ. However, one can receive in the traditional way of kneeling. That's in Redemptionis Sacramentum 90 and Germ 160. Remember when there was a communion rail? You don't want to know what I would do if I was Pope, but that might be one thing. But we come close to the minister of communion. I think this is a COVID thing, where a lot of kids, especially, come a little closer, you know. And we shouldn't be afraid to come close to Jesus. After we hear the body of Christ, we say amen, which means yes, I put my life on it. I love you, Lord. I love you. Amen. It's the sealing of the covenant. Okay. Number 5, either on the tongue or in the hand is permitted in the United States of America. That is in Germ 160. If two hands aren't available, perhaps you're holding a baby, perhaps you have a cane, then you should receive on the tongue. Because in order to receive in the hand, we should be able to use both hands. And in a second, we'll get to the details. We can receive on the hand because of a recognatio that came in June 17, 1977. There are 195 countries in the world. 37 countries have permission from Rome that allow people to receive on the hand if they so choose. That permission came to the United States on June 17, 1977. Before then, everybody had to receive on the tongue. Receiving on the tongue is still beautiful, and I'll get to that in a second. But if you're going to pick the hand, you got to do a few things. Make sure the hands are clean. Don't have gloves on. Make hands a throne for the king. That's why you need two. You put the dominant hand underneath the other hand. And then carefully with your dominant hand, after Jesus is resting on your non-dominant hand, you gently put Jesus into your mouth, very reverently. We don't make our hands a bowl. We make them a throne. We put the right... Okay, I said that already. Hold hands up high. Not like way down here, but like high, close to the mouth. So there's less distance for something bad to happen with the host. We don't grab the host from the communion person. I call those pluckers. the way they pluck. No. Jesus comes to rest on there, and then we gently put Jesus into our mouth, if we choose to do it on the hand. Receive right there in front of the minister. This is very clear. I think people were taught bad for a long time, and that they were taught to get out of the way of the person behind them. Not a good thing. This is your moment. And so when you come up to receive communion, whether you are receiving on the hand or on the tongue, you receive right there in front of the communion minister. You don't receive as you're walking away, or step to the side and then receive, or walk, even worse, walk away with Jesus. That we're to chase you down if that happens. But we receive right there in the presence of the communion minister, so that we can be sure that the Eucharist, which is Jesus, is being treated properly and with devotion, and nothing bad will happen. If you receive on the hand, be sure to inspect for crumbs. And if you find one, You just gently suction it up, okay? Now, if receiving on the tongue in the traditional practice, then, that's by the way, I'm not allowed to tell you how to do it, but that's how I always did it before I was a priest. Because I find that it's easier, I find that it's, for me, it did more for my soul. It was a way of making sure that I wasn't getting any crumbs anywhere. It was making sure that I was as reverent as I possibly could be. Both are options. But if you choose to receive on the tongue, very good. Leave hands folded in prayer so the priest knows that you are to receive on the tongue. Sometimes people like, are you going for the hand or the tongue? You know, hard to tell sometimes. But you also may need to lower your hands so that the paten can get in there. The servers are trained to follow the host from the ciborium to the persons underneath their hands if they go on the hand, or under their chin if they receive on the tongue. And so if your hands are way up here, it gets hard on the servers, and the paten is not able to follow. Extend the tongue slightly with the mouth open to receive. It's very easy. And don't move the tongue around. It's beautiful. It's not about rules. It's about love. How can we love Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament properly? That's what this is all about. It's about love. That's why the Church in her goodness gives us instructions. And we, like the people that heard Moses say, with one voice, we will do everything you say, Lord. We will conform our lives this way. I remember when I was in the fifth grade, Father Charlie Chesbrough, now he died, it was just his anniversary of passing away, actually. And I always tell people, without him, I wouldn't be a priest, because he was my guy. And anyway, when I was in fifth grade, he told everybody, you have to bow before you receive Jesus. And I remember, could you believe there was somebody in that parish, in St. Charles in Bloomington, who said, I will not bow before communion because I've never bowed before. Who is this priest to tell me? He was only doing his job. And I thought, how sad. We have to have a posture of reverence, respect for the most holy thing in our lives, the source and summit of everything, which is Jesus. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.